Airbnb.
Yetis, how much can you charge for your place? Important question, but hard to answer.
Airbnb helps host with that. They show you how much similar places in your area are going for so you can compare and contrast.
Jack, this two-bedroom walk-up, it's going for $300 a night on weekends, but my two-bedroom walk-up is nicer, it's got a pretty view, and maybe I'll put it up for $400 a night.
Nailing the price is key to being a satisfied host on Airbnb, and Airbnb helps you do it. Your home might be worth more than you think.
Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Rocket Money.
All right, Yetis, picture one place you can link all your money accounts to have one single picture of all your finances.
That's Rocket Money.
Yeah, it is.
But we love this app because it actually does a lot of different things for us.
Rocket Money, it's like our money manager. It shares money alerts like that refund that we've been waiting for.
And Rocket Money also helps us save money by helping us cancel subscriptions that we don't need anymore.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users, and it saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
That's rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
Fabric by Gerber Life.
Yeah, a lot of people think that getting life insurance means you're insuring yourself for yourself.
But it's actually the exact opposite. You're insuring yourself for your family.
Yeah, Jack and I, we both got term life insurance to make sure our kids and our partners are taken care of if something happens to us.
Life insurance is how you protect your family's future, and we love Fabric.
Fabric by Gerber Life is term life insurance you can get done right here, right now. You could be covered from your couch in under 10 minutes with no health exam required.
And if you're young and healthy, now is the time to get life insurance.
Because you lock in low rates that fit your family and your budget.
Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/tboy.
That's meetfabric.com/tboy.
Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company, not available in certain states, and prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
It's Wednesday, December 7th, and today's pod is just the best one yet. It's a T-boy.
Today's pod is a T-boy.
It is, but Jack and I should point out stocks fell for their fourth day in a row.
What happened to all that Santa surge reindeer rally nonsense we discussed yesterday?
Hey, Rudolph, you made us a promise.
Your nose isn't so bright, Rudolph.
In the meantime, today's pod is the best one yet. And Jack, what's our first story?
OpenAI is the new chatbot being called the biggest technology since the iPhone.
So Jack and I asked this artificial intelligence to write a podcast, and it did.
For our second story, Nestle is pioneering a new concept. We're calling it Smeals.
Smeals.
Snackable meals.
It's a Hot Pocket minus the microwave.
And our third and final story is Salesforce. Salesforce has suffered a massive exodus of key executives in the past week.
So here's the question Jack and I gotta ask. Do you wanna be rich or do you wanna be king? And the answer is not both this time. Actually,
no,
it's not
can't
both.
Be both. But Yetis, before we hit that wonderful mix.
Could be D, all of the above. We should point that out. I'd love this mix, Jack.
Do you want to know one of the great temples of tranquility?
Yetis, do you want to know one of the great settings of serenity?
One of the quietest places we have
in world
is the silence of an airplane.
The silence of an airplane. Because an airplane is basically one huge noise machine.
Yeah, if you can get over the constant background drone of the engine.
It's subtle, but it's big.
There's nothing else. You can hear a pin drop.
And the key reason for that, what is it, Jack?
Airplane mode on your phone.
There are no phone calls allowed on flights, period. That's the reason.
Have you noticed there's no phone calls in the cabin of an airplane ever?
Well, not for long.
Starting next year, the European Union is going to let you make phone calls in air.
Get this. Anyone on a plane in Europe next year, they can make a call mid-flight back to planet Earth.
Nick, you know what this means.
Well, what does it mean, Jack?
It means you can say sayonara to your sanctuary in the sky.
Yeah, call up the Wright brothers. This is the biggest change to flights since the Biscoff cookie.
With phone calls on the airplane, coach is going to sound like a conference room.
With phone calls on the airplane, economy class is going to sound like a classroom class.
We're trying to relax on Delta Comfort Plus, but some dude is doing a TED talk in the row in front of you.
Jack, I'm just trying to get some shut eye on the red eye, but then someone's walking their team through a PowerPoint presentation, man.
Excuse me, flight attendant. I can't turn down the volume on the person sitting next to me.
Can we put Bob in 23B into airplane mode, please?
That is, if you have to send a Christmas gift to a European second cousin this year.
Jack, what's the takeaway?
Get him some noise-canceling earplugs.
AirPods for the airplanes. Jack, let's hit our three stories.
15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea to cause a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that's it. I don't even think they need to practice. 50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show. Start the show.
For our first story, OpenAI's new chatbot is being called the biggest thing since the iPhone.
So we tested it out.
We jumped in T-Boy style.
By having a computer create a podcast episode.
All right, we'll get to that in a bit. In the meantime, Yetis, last week, something strange launched online.
Not a product.
Nope.
Not a service.
No.
Not a company.
No.
A brain.
A brain. Chat. GPT, an artificial intelligence chatbot with a not so great name. They're still working on that.
It's built by a company called OpenAI, which is a tech startup based in San Francisco with a bunch of smart people.
It's a chatbot, a computer program you ask questions of, kind of like when you're doing a customer service chatbot-y thing online and you're interacting with a computer and they just say yes or no.
It's not a human you're messaging with. It's artificial intelligence. But this chatbot has personality.
This chatbot has humor, creativity, humanness, artisticness, a range.
This chatbot that you chat with, it also has a wealth of knowledge as deep as the Caspian Sea.
ChatGPT can explain scientific concepts.
It can discuss Harry Potter's Quidditch career, if that's what you want to talk about.
Or you could ask this chatbot to write a poem about peanut butter. Yeah, it'll pull that off.
The key that makes ChatGPT feel so special is the dialogue.
Right, because it has the knowledge of Google when you ask it questions, but it can talk to you and interact with you like a conversation.
You can ask this thing anything, and it answers you like it was a human on the other side. Like you were chatting with your buddy Timmy, but your buddy Timmy has like 18 master's degrees.
Not too shabby, Timmy.
Now, since last week when this thing launched, a million people have gone to the website, which you can do, by the way, and chatted with the bot.
A million people have conversed with this code, which also improves the code because of machine learning.
Naturally, we chatted with it too.
Naturally, Jack and I jumped in T-Boy style.
And we tested the most powerful chatbot ever.
Jack and I went to chat.openai.com. You can too. We registered, and here's what we decided to ask.
Hey, chatbot, can you write a script of our podcast, the best one yet, but in the style of Charles Dickens, question mark?
We asked the chatbot to write our podcast, like write a theoretical script as if it were a 19th century writer.
The computer took 3 seconds to compute and then spit out this text.
Here's what it said. It was a dark and stormy night, and within the walls of the T-Boy podcast studio, Nick and Jack sat huddled with their microphones, ready to discuss the latest and greatest in the world of tech, in the world of business and entrepreneurship.
The chatbot went on. Nick, my dear friend, said Jack, it is with great pleasure that we welcome an esteemed guest to the show this evening, a leading expert in the field of technology and the latest trends.
And then the chatbot went on in response to our question. Here's what it said. Indeed, Jack, replied Nick. It is an honor to discuss the rise of this disruptive industry and how it is changing the world of business as we know it.
And finally, the chatbot finished with, without further ado, welcome to the T-Boy podcast. We'll discuss quite a few fascinating stories.
How does it know that we say the word fascinating? Like, how did it know that?
Now, I assume during those 3 seconds it was computing, it listened to every podcast we've ever produced.
And we disproportionately say things like fascinating and it knew about our podcast studio.
I got to say, the only Charles Dickens part was the opening line, the dark and stormy night.
Yeah. Please, chatbot, can I have some more? So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at OpenAI?
First, robots took blue-collar jobs. Now, it's clear they can come for white-collar jobs, too.
Yetis, often we think about robots as a blue-collar threat, like a robot replaces an auto worker, sadly.
But ChatGPT shows the potential for robots to do white-collar creative work, too.
Now, besties, ChatGPT, it isn't perfect. It makes mistakes. It actually confidently says incorrect things sometimes.
It's not perfectly fluent, and it also lacks human depth.
It's going to take years to perfect.
It may never perfect.
But still, ChatGPT and its artistic sister, DALL-E, show that artificial intelligence can now get creative.
OpenAI's artificial intelligence shows that robots, they're a threat to creative white-collar desk jobs, too.
Jack and I know it because this robot is capable of scripting a podcast. For our second story, the newest and most exciting segment in food right now is Smeals. Snacky meals.
Instead of competing against snacks or meals,
lame,
Nestle created a new category, Smeals.
Smeals. But Jack, first of all, every millennial we know has a one-inch section of their tongue that is permanently burned by a Hot Pocket.
For me, it's the top of my mouth.
Jack, I know. All right, here, you see this?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Bacon Ranch, 1996, Upper East Side, never forget.
Mine was Meatball Marinara, 1992, a young Hot Pocket for four-year-old me.
Jack, I didn't talk for a full week and almost prevented this entire podcasting career from happening.
As Jim Gaffigan put it, these things can either be solved frozen in the middle or liquid hot magma volcano.
A Hot Pocket was actually an innovation, though. It was invented in the 1990s, and it changed the food game.
Microwavable mini pockets, hot to go food.
In the 90s, it ushered in a whole wave of innovation. The Eggo waffle, the bagel bite, they all came after the Hot Pocket.
You grab the product from the freezer, cook it quickly, and eat it.
Well, just like any tech innovation, we have the newest phase of the Hot Pocket. 30 years later, what is it, Jack?
The Smeal.
The Smeal. Can we say Schmeal?
I don't think it's a schmear situation.
Okay. It's a Smeal. It's a Smeal because it's a snackable meal. It's a snackified meal. It's not a Schmeal.
Snacks are the fastest growing food segment in the United States.
Although I kind of like Schmeal still, but let's roll with it.
A snackable meal is a snack, but with way more calories.
It's actually got the same value proposition as a snack because it brings convenience.
It's handheld and portable.
And it's also efficient.
You don't have to cook it.
But it's not a Hot Pocket. It's actually a room temperature pocket.
Right. Smeals are frozen foods, but you take them out of the freezer and you don't cook them. You just let them thaw in your backpack.
And next thing you know, you're chowing down one of these in the middle of the day because you just remembered it's in your backpack.
Now, some call these things thaw and eat products.
You may see that in the media right now. Thaw and eat.
We call them Smeals. Snackable meals.
Now, Jack and I are always curious about a new industry, so we jumped in T-Boy style. And Jack, what did we find when we jumped in T-Boy style?
The leading Smeal is a Hot Pocket sub-brand called The Deli Witch.
It's a sub-brand because it was developed by Nestle just this year, the biggest food company on planet Earth.
The Deli Witch comes in a cheddar ham variety, and it's within a bun pocket.
It's frozen. It just needs to get to room temperature.
No microwave needed.
Also this year, Kellogg's launched the Eggo Waffle Sandwich.
No toaster needed.
Also this year, Kraft Heinz launched the Salami Pita that they call a launch box.
A snackable meal. No heating necessary.
It turns out when you look at the numbers, Smeals are the food industry's biggest surprise of 2022.
Smeal, Schmeal. Either way, your iMessage is going to auto-correct it to smell.
Either way, you still have that spot on your tongue. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over
never forget
in the food industry?
Snackable meals, the Smeal, is a case study in category design.
Yeti's category design. It's actually an entrepreneurship mindset that was pioneered by Christopher Lockheed.
Instead of competing with a new product in an existing category, go out and create a new category altogether.
Yeah, here's the basic idea. Why compete as a newcomer against the big boys in an existing industry when you could be the only boy in a new industry?
Innovators don't market that they're better than all the other competition. They market that they're different than all the competition.
And that is exactly what Nestle and all these other food brands are doing with the Smeals market.
They're not comparing their Smeals to existing on-the-go snacks or to microwavable meals.
Exactly, Jack. They're introducing a new category. Smeals are convenient, satisfying, and no microwave. That's different.
That is category design. Don't build to be better. Build to be different altogether. Now, a word about our sponsor, Robinhood.
You can do just about anything from your phone, but some industries, they've just been slow to move.
The finance industry was slow to move from phone to computer, and then from computer to app.
Oh, Robinhood wasn't. It's the Silicon Valley-based brokerage that's been updating apps since it was born in 2015.
Using the Robinhood app for your stocks and crypto is almost as easy as downloading it.
So you can invest at your pace on your terms by downloading the Robinhood app.
If you're not investing on Robinhood yet, to get started, go to Robinhood.com/tboy and choose your free stock.
That's Robinhood.com/TBOY. Limitations apply.
Stocks are offered by Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC.
Crypto offered through Robinhood Crypto.
All investments involve risk.
By the way, this podcast is not owned by or part of Robinhood, and we are not employees of Robinhood. For our third and final story, Salesforce just lost its three most important people besides its most important person.
Besides its most important person.
Mark Benioff. He can be rich or he can be king, but he can't be both.
Yetis, let's talk Salesforce.
You have been in a company using Salesforce. You know the number one rule of Salesforce. And what is that rule, Jack?
Salesforce forces salespeople to put everything in Salesforce.
As they say, if it's not in Salesforce, it didn't happen.
Founded in 1999, Salesforce was basically a digital Rolex, a digital notebook, and a digital reminder machine all in one for salespeople.
Billy Mays here. Are you trying to sell some latex? You better organize all your sales calls in Salesforce, buddy.
This was key with Salesforce. The software would ping you that you haven't called Vandalay Industries in a year to try to sell them latex.
It's going
to
be like, hey, buddy, sorry, it's time to call them again. Oh, and by the way, it's also the CEO's daughter's birthday today. You may want to send a card.
We know because you made a note 2 years ago when you struck out on that sales meeting.
Like we said, if it wasn't in Salesforce, then it didn't happen.
Well, that customer relationship management software business grew steadily for a couple decades until it didn't.
And that is when Salesforce stopped selling and started buying.
Yetis, Salesforce has a bit of a shopping problem.
Salesforce looks like the Carrie Bradshaw of business when you hear these numbers, Jack. What are they?
Bloomingdale's brown bags can't hold the $50 billion worth of acquisitions they made since 2018.
Yeti, Salesforce has acquired the equivalent of 12 Lyft's worth of companies in just 4 years.
Which makes this latest news so devastating.
Because the heads of the two biggest acquisitions Salesforce has ever made just quit right next to each other.
Okay, let's talk about the biggest acquisition they ever made. During the pandemic, Salesforce splurged $28 billion to acquire Slack.
Well, Jack, after 2 years of working at Salesforce, Slack's founder, Stuart Butterfield, just quit this week.
Let's move down the list to the number two biggest acquisition Salesforce ever made, Tableau.
Well, the leader of Tableau just quit Salesforce last week.
And guess who else quit Salesforce last week?
Who else quit Salesforce, Jack? Was it someone important at Salesforce?
Let me check Salesforce. Oh, it was the co-CEO of Salesforce.
The co-CEO of Salesforce just quit Salesforce. This is like something scripted by Christopher Nolan.
All right, let me check my call report one more time. The three most important people at this company quit in a 1 week span.
Except the one most important person at this company.
Sounds like we're getting to the takeaway, Nick.
Feels like a takeaway moment. Let me just ask the AI bot. Yep, it's in a takeaway moment. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Salesforce?
You can be rich or you can be king. Not both.
Look, besties, at a certain point, every entrepreneur is going to face this dilemma. Rich or king, do you want money or control?
The idea is that getting rich is going to require giving up control of your company and giving up a little control of your autonomy too.
Well, honestly, Mark Benioff, the founder and legendary CEO of Salesforce, seemed to have both. He seemed to be both rich and king.
Mark Benioff was a dominant CEO and the biggest owner of a booming and incredibly valuable company.
But over the years, he's lost a lot of executives. And maybe if he'd given them more power, maybe they would have stayed.
So yes, Mark Benioff has remained king. But losing those great leaders have made him a lot less rich.
And you can see that in Salesforce's stock. That stock is lower today than it was in 2018 before all those deals.
Salesforce is another reminder. You can be rich or you can be king.
But you can't be both.
No, you can't.
Jack, can you and maybe a chatbot over there whip up the takeaways for us?
OpenAI has launched AI tools available to anyone online that are incredibly intelligent.
It's clear robots are becoming a threat to white-collar work, too.
For our second story, Deliwitch is a Hot Pocket sub-brand, and it's leading the new smeal category.
Smeals, not schmeals. The snackable meals are a case study in category design.
Our third and final story is Salesforce's CEO. He has lost all his top men in the past week.
Mark Benioff, and honestly, every entrepreneur out there, you can be rich or you can be king, but you can't be both.
No, you can't.
It just kind of like, it begs you to like say one more thing after a pause. Now time for the best fact yet. This one sent in. Actually, we do have one sent in, Jack. We do have one sent in. But instead, what if we asked that chat AI bot for a fact of the day, for the best fact yet?
Like you're going to type in what's a great fact?
Well, I have it up on the screen here. Let me give it a shot.
Are you going to ask for the best fact or just a
Let's do that. Let's keep it on brand. What's the best fact yet? All right, I'm typing this in. Okay, here it goes. Dot, dot, dot. Here it goes.
He's like, I have 0% body fat.
Here it is. Yeah, here it is. Here's what the chatbot's saying. It's saying, the biggest snowflake ever was recorded in Montana in 1887. That snowflake was 15 inches wide and 8 inches thick. Some have questioned the accuracy of the measurement, but in any case, snowflakes can grow to be quite large. That's a pretty big snowflake.
And that's quite a big hedge at the end of that fact.
Wait, Jack, I'm typing in, man, that snowflake would hurt if it hit you. It says it would.
Don't tell it any more about this podcast. I'm nervous.
Jack, I will never ask this chatbot to whip up the takeaways for us.
Never.
Your smile is way better than this chatbot's. Yetis, you look fantastic today. Jack and I will see you tomorrow.
Can't wait.
And before we go, happy birthday to Yeti Tony Engel down in lovely Santa Rosa, California.
And happy birthday to Kareem, the jiu-jitsu legend of Long Island.
Dave Contreras is acting 36 years old down in Hyattsville, Maryland.
And happy birthday to Chad Moore down in Abilene, Texas.
And happy birthday to Troy the Trojan Whirly over in Pasadena, California.
And we are sending a big happy first birthday to Leovani Antonio in beautiful Buffalo, New York.
And Jack, speaking of smeals, Cameron Smith just had his last day as the president of Kodiak Cakes, Kodiak Pancakes in Park City, Utah.
Big fan of that pancake product.
And Yetis, it is the 81st anniversary of the Pearl Harbor attacks on the United States.
If you are lucky enough to know a World War II vet, thank him today.
And if you don't know a World War II vet, we can still remember them just the same.
This is Jack. Nick and I both own stock of Robinhood. Now, a word about our sponsor, Robinhood.
Jack, rule number one about a kitchen renovation, tell your friends about your kitchen renovation.
We know the cabinets are expensive.
Well, in the pandemic, a lot of companies renovated their businesses, focusing on apps and digital.
Robinhood didn't have to. It was built digital from the start.
Robinhood's mobile-first and intuitive design makes investing a little easier for every stage of your investing journey.
Whether you want to trade options, ETFs, or stocks through Robinhood Financial, or buy some Bitcoin on Robinhood Crypto, you can do all that right on the Robinhood app.
If you're not investing on Robinhood yet, to get started, go to Robinhood.com/TBoy and choose your free stock.
That's Robinhood.com/TBOY. Limitations apply.
Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC. All investments involve risk.
By the way, this podcast is not owned by or part of Robinhood, and we are not employees of Robinhood. If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.